بسم الله الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه من تبعه وداها ما بعد. We're continuing with the situation in Egypt. The son of Najm al-Din Ayyub was to be chosen as king when he was very young, only 15 years of age. And this was not the time for someone young like him, Al-Ashraf Ali ibn Najm al-Din Ayyub, to be the king. So Qutuz, rahimahullah, decided to take over. He waited a bit, but he noticed that this is not going to work. Officially, in year 657, after the fall of Baghdad, officially, in year 657, that's when Qutuz, rahimahullah, took over. So who is Qutuz? We said earlier his name is what? Mahmud ibn Mamdud. Very good. Qutuz was his title. Who gave him his title? The Tatars themselves. The Tatars themselves gave the title to Qutuz. And it means in the Mongol language, the wild dog. So what has the Tatars do with Qutuz? Qutuz, rahimahullah, was captured by the Tatars when they were invading Khawarizm. Okay? Mahmud ibn Mamdud Qutuz, he was the nephew of Jalaluddin. Do you remember Jalaluddin from yesterday? That's his sister's son, Qutuz. Mahmud ibn Mamdud. Subhanallah. Look now how days come around. Qutuz became in Egypt. Najm al-Din Ayyub, as I told you, rahimahullah, he bought him earlier because the Tatars, what did they do? They killed the men, took advantage of the women. The kids, whoever is useful, they use him for work. Whoever is too young, either they sell him or they kill sometimes, depending. Qutuz, rahimahullah, was one of those young slaves who was sold. And eventually, he was bought by Najm al-Din Ayyub, rahimahullah. And Najm al-Din Ayyub treated him like his own son. Qutuz did not forget what happened on the hands of the Tatars. So from early age, he had this goal. Revenge, payback. You see, when you have a goal and you live to achieve that goal, subhanallah, it's different than someone whose goal is just to live for living, for the sake of living, has no goal whatsoever. Qutuz, rahimahullah, now became the ruler. Tatars are next door. What should he do? Egypt is only one country. The history is not in his favor. Why? The situation is not in his favor. All previous land, northern Palestine, Al-Sham, Al-Iraq, all of them were occupied by the Tatars. Who is left? Only a small area, which is currently in Jordan. Karak. This area, we didn't talk about it, is no different than the other states. Its ruler is no different than the other ruler, Mughith al-Din. What's the meaning of Mughith al-Din? Mughith. Mughith. Yughith. Aghatha. What does it mean? To come to rescue. That's Yughith, the rescuer of the religion. But he was the opposite, exactly. Mughith al-Din Umar. He was one of the allies of Hulaku. Qutuz contacted him. He refused to help him. So, help from outside is not coming to you. People in Al-Sham, either they are from the Ayyubis who were looking to rule Egypt, or they are under the occupation of the Tatars. So, nobody is going to help you. You have to start within yourself, in the resources that you have. What do? First of all, he wanted to unify the Muslims. That's the first step, the infrastructure. It's very, very wrong when you start from outside and you live inside. Because that's what Allah says in the Quran. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لا يغير ما بقوم حتى يغير ما بأنفسهم. Many times we complain, there is a problem outside. There is a problem outside. You want the problem to change outside, you have to change inside. Why things are not working? Because you're not doing it the way Allah said. You're not doing it the way Allah said. How do you expect it to work? How do you expect it to work? Allah does not change the status of people until they change what's within themselves. And that's why they tell you in management, in motivational speeches, change begins from within. That's true because it's from the Quran. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِقَوْمٍ حَتَّى يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِأَنفُسِهِمْ. So now, let's work on the infrastructure. Forget about outside. You have to work from inside. Qutuz in Egypt. What Egypt has at that time? Very dense population. So there is manpower there. But are there resources? Not a lot. There is not lots of resources. So he wanted to impose taxes on people. Not to raise his wealth, not to save money in his bank accounts, no. Qutuz wanted to raise money to prepare the army to fight the Tatars. That was the purpose. But who stood up against him? Al-Izz ibn Abd al-Salam, rahimahullah. As I told you, Al-Izz ibn Abd al-Salam, rahimahullah, one of the scholars who was born in Damascus, he's originally from Morocco, in the year 577. Al-Izz ibn Abd al-Salam, he was a prominent scholar in Damascus at the time of Ismail. They call him As-Salih Ismail, Al-Ayyubi. Ismail, he allied with the Crusaders against Najm al-Din Ayyub. Weren't their scholars? This is an example. One of the scholars, Al-Izz ibn Abd al-Salam, rahimahullah, he opposed that. Ismail in Damascus did not only ally with the Crusaders, he allowed them to come to Damascus to purchase weapons. These weapons are used for what? Killing Muslims in Egypt. So immediately, Al-Izz ibn Abd al-Salam, rahimahullah, issued the fatwa. What was the fatwa? It's forbidden on every Muslim to sell weapons to the Crusaders. Forbidden. Ismail sent him a letter. Mind your own business. Don't interfere in politics. Al-Izz ibn Abd al-Salam, he resigned. Because Ismail was appointing him official position, the judge, the khatib, the speaker in the biggest masjid. Al-Izz ibn Abd al-Salam started the dua that you hear sometimes. Allahumma abrim li hadihi al-ummati amra rushdin yu'azzu fihi ahlu ta'atik. Have you heard this dua before? He was the first one to say this dua. Usually, they used to pray for the Khalifa, for the ruler. He did not pray for him. That was considered violation, very rude. So Ismail imprisoned him. Imprisoned Al-Izz ibn Abd al-Salam, rahimahullah, as a punishment. You ask about the scholars. You think that the scholars are supermans? They can't change things? Look at them now. Have you ever heard that a rabbi was interrogated, tortured, or imprisoned? How many imams were deported, were imprisoned? What people are doing? It's the same thing that happened before. But still, it's the duty of the people of knowledge to speak up and to say the truth. Al-Izz ibn Abd al-Salam, rahimahullah, was imprisoned. Ismail knows that Al-Izz ibn Abd al-Salam has popularity. He's very popular amongst the people. So he sent one of his assistants suggesting that Al-Izz ibn Abd al-Salam repents, asks for forgiveness from Ismail, so he would forgive him and he would go back. So the deputy came, he told him, Ya Imam, Ibn Abd al-Salam, the only thing that's stopping you from going back to what you were on, from your positions, is just to kiss the hand of Ismail. He said, Wallahi, I don't accept that he kisses my hand. I don't want this. That was the strength of Al-Izz ibn Abd al-Salam, rahimahullah. So Ismail realized that he has to keep him imprisoned. He was with his friends, the Crusaders, and Al-Izz ibn Abd al-Salam, rahimahullah, was imprisoned with the shackles in the tent next door. So